Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Straight Talk About Hormones. I'm Elizabeth Lee Valid, MD, and for the next 45 minutes, I'll be discussing hormone health for women, and we'll always give you the straight truth based on research from the international experts. Tonight's topic is Hormone Successes, the story from Europe you probably don't know. Here's your chance to ask everything you've wanted to know about hormones but didn't know where to turn, or your doctors poo-pooed your questions as silly. Well, tonight, no question is too silly, and we have several of them that have been sent into our website, and we'll be addressing those in the course of the show. If you have questions about upcoming topics or want to send a question, check my website at www.herplace.com. Each week, we'll address headlines and talk in depth about the ways hormones affect a woman, from hot flashes to mood swings, sex drive, energy level, mood, migraines, memory, anxiety, bladder, and bones. Well, let's talk a little bit about this whole subject of female hormones. I think you'll be surprised to find out just how far-reaching hormones are in your life and how empowering it can be to have facts and good information. Estrogen alone affects over 400 functions in a woman's body, and yet mostly all you hear about are the three that got approved by the FDA: hot flashes, dry vagina, or bone loss. Well, what about the other 397 things that women have when they lose their estrogen? We'll be talking about all of those, and each week I'll start the program with a short monologue about tonight's topic. Then I'll take your calls and questions at 646-716-8913. So you may be asking, who am I to lead this discussion? I have over 25 years' experience in women's health, treating patients from across the country and overseas for a wide variety of hormone-related problems. I've personally researched and written 6 consumer books on these overlooked hormone connections, and I'm working on 3 more. Every year, I attend one or more of the major international menopause or gynecologic endocrinology world conferences where international experts present the latest research about hormones. You'll find that international perspective is very different from the headlines you see in the United States, based primarily on research using a mixture of horse-derived estrogens alone or with a potent synthetic progestin. That's not exactly what a human female body may need. My show is educational. We are not a commercial for products, and you won't hear ads to buy a bunch of supplements or quick fix products. My show is for savvy women who want more than the latest soundbite, who want more than fear-based headlines, who want more than an unproven remedy or the latest trendy supplement. If you have more questions, check my website, www.herplace.com. I have booklets and articles I've written. You can download them free to print and read and help you work with your own physician. Regulatory issues don't allow physicians to provide individual medical advice over the Internet, so I can't answer specific medical questions that require a medical evaluation. What I will do is address general questions and give suggestions for you to follow up with your own physician. I may be talking about uses for hormones that have not yet had FDA approval in this country as an accepted indication for treatment, but my commitment to you is that my discussions are based in the good science from international research. And tonight we'll be talking about exactly some of that research, the story from Europe that you probably haven't heard. I want to tell you about a study called the ESTER study. And there's more about this study and what it was all about in the article on my website. But basically, this study was sponsored by the health agencies of the French government. It didn't get very much press in the United States, but it was a very significant study showing that women taking oral estrogens, that means taking a pill, were four times more likely to have a blood clot than women using estrogen in a transdermal gel or a patch delivery. In fact, the women on the estradiol gel in the study or patches had no more blood clots than women taking no hormones at all. And that's quite different from the headlines you see in the United States. I first wrote about the lower risk of blood clots with transdermal delivery of estradiol in the first edition of my book, Screaming to be Heard, published in 1995, because studies have shown since the 1970s that if the estradiol was delivered transdermally through the skin and absorbed directly into the bloodstream, it had a lower risk of blood clots than did estradiol taken by pill or the conjugated equine estrogens taken in pill form. Well, this seems to come as a surprise to most American women, but French women and their doctors have known about these differences for over 30 years. Part of the difference is that women in the United States have traditionally been given oral pills of Premarin, a mixture of horse estrogens, or Prempro, horse estrogens plus a potent synthetic progestin. Both of these products contain hormones that are foreign to the human body and are not identical to what women make before menopause or ever in their lives. Yet these two products have accounted for 80 to 85% of all the hormone prescriptions in the United States for the last 50 years. European women, on the other hand, have typically used products with bioidentical estradiol and progesterone, the hormones identical to what the human female body makes. But even more critical, in Europe, most of the women, 70% of the women in France and Italy, for example, use the transdermal forms. The estragel was approved in France in 1974, and yet American women didn't get it until 30 years later in 2004. And those products are approved by their regulatory bodies like our FDA. But in the United States, 70% of women are getting oral forms of hormones, and less than 10% of American women use a patch or a gel. So I think it's really important that if you have health risk that might be related to how the hormones are given, that you understand these differences and talk with your doctor about the different options. Well, let's look at one of the questions that came in just a few minutes before the showtime. This was from a lady in California who said, I have had a total hysterectomy and I take a tablet of bioidentical estradiol that I get from my regular drugstore. But my doctor says it's giving me high blood pressure and wants me to stop. Without my estrogen, I can't think straight and I get depressed. Are there any other options for me? Well, the good news for this lady is that along the lines of what I was just talking about with the ester study, the transdermal estradiol gels and estradiol patches actually help to dilate blood vessels and lower blood pressure, and that's a specific effect of giving the estradiol through the skin instead of taking it by pills. Women on the horse-derived estrogens tend to have higher blood pressure than women on the oral estradiol tablets like this lady wrote about. And women on transdermal gels and patches tend to have lower blood pressure. So that's one of the reasons that you may want to consider a different option on how you take your hormones. So let's go to one of the callers who's calling in tonight and see what their questions are. Caller, the area code 817, do you have some comments? Welcome to our show.
Hello, Dr. Verlee. I wanted your listeners to know that I think the type of hormones you take can affect how you feel. Just from my experience, I took Premarin and Provera for over 4 years, and when I was taking Premarin, I felt okay. But when I was taking the Provera part, every month before my period, I had really severe PMS, more severely than I ever had on my own cycle before I took hormones. I was irritable and depressed. And when I told my doctor this, he told me it was all in my mind.
Oh, my heavens.
I still have this problem every month, and I just kept taking my prescription, but I felt bad about myself.
Well, what did you finally do?
Well, when I was 50, the doctor changed me over to Prempro, which is a combination pill of Premarin and Provera, and I took that for 3 more years. And on this pill, I never had a period or PMS because it kept my lining thin, but I felt mildly depressed all the time. And eventually, you know, after the 3 years, I found out about bioidentical hormones, and I switched over, and I didn't have those problems on those.
Well,
you know,
how did you figure out that it might have been the hormones playing a role in the depression? I mean, it sounds like your gynecologist didn't think that was a factor.
Well, he told me that women just mentioned that to him, but he discounted it. He just said it's all in their heads, and it was in my. I assumed he thought it was in my head too.
You know, but, as a husband, I can attest to the fact that emotional swings. I'm talking about Jekyll and Hyde were really chemically induced because I saw a distinct recurring pattern. You know, it wasn't that the issues were not real. It's just that they were distorted. It was a chemical thing, and I could see that.
Well, so how did you, as a husband, help your wife get these issues addressed when the doctor prescribing the hormones didn't think they were connected?
Well, my wife has a scientific mind, so she just dug in and studied and came across this the bioidentical hormones.
Well, that sounds great. What are you taking now?
I take the Vivel Dot. I do take oral estrace, a half milligram in the morning and at night. It helps me sleep. I'm taking testosterone, and for the progestin, I'm using a Mirena IUD.
Well, that sounds like a really interesting combination. So most of your estrogen is coming through the patch, and then you have the... And that's an FDA-approved product, and that does contain the bioidentical 17-beta estradiol. Women sometimes think that we don't have bioidentical hormones except from compounding pharmacies, and that's not correct. We've had bioidentical estradiol tablets and patches in the United States for over 20 years, and in fact, the tablets go back 30 years. So... Though that is something you do have an option on, and you're using the Mirena IUD, which has a synthetic progestin, but it gives you a lower dose than some of the other products out there. So that sounds like a good option. Have you done well with that?
I have. I haven't noticed the symptoms that bothered me before.
And then for now, if you're using testosterone, you do need to have that be compounded at a pharmacy. But I have to comment that an awful lot of women I see in my practice are getting really high doses from compounding pharmacies, and that's a problem. Too much testosterone can be a problem for women, cause hair loss and acne and middle body weight gain, as well as make you feel irritable again. So it's important to keep the dose in the right range for a woman, and we'll be talking more about that in upcoming shows. Well,
you know, Dr. Reed, I appreciate the chance to tell this story because, as I told my doctor of 30 years, I really felt that this was chemical, and they were causing marriage problems and, you know, quite a few unnecessary divorces because the doctors involved in treating the ladies were not taking it seriously. You know, and by the way, this coming January, my wife and I will be married 40 years. We have 4 children and 8 grandchildren.
Well, that is terrific. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I see so many midlife women in my practice, and their husbands are just really at their wits' end trying to understand what's going on, which is another reason I wanted to do this show. And I think it's really unfortunate that more doctors don't realize how different the effects are with these different types of hormones. Have you had any more of that depression since you changed to the bioidentical estradiol?
No, I really don't.
And you haven't needed an antidepressant?
No.
Well, that is wonderful.
Got my girl back.
Well, that's great. Thank you both for calling and sharing your story. I know that other people will find that really helpful.
We enjoy listening to your show. Thank you.
Well, take care.
Bye-bye.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Hello, caller from area code 646. Welcome to our show.
Dr. Valit?
Yes?
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for writing the book, Screaming to be Heard.
Well, you are so welcome.
Yes, I was taking Primpro, I read your book, and I had every symptom in the book. No energy, irritability, I was fatigued all the time, depressed, mood swings, all of those things. And I thought, I need a change. So I had my hormone levels checked and was deficient. And so now I'm on estradiol, Micronar, testosterone, Synthroid, and T3. And my energy level is great. I feel good, no more depression or mood swings, things like that. And I will be 71 next month, and I work out at the gym 5 days a week, and two of those days I do an hour spin class.
Well, that is terrific. I'm really proud of you for all of your dedication to your exercise as well as your hormones.
Well, I think because I got on the correct hormones, that gave me energy to want to exercise.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yes.
I think that makes a huge difference. I know I had a hysterectomy in my early 40s, and I tell you, if my hormones aren't where they need to be, I just lose a lot of my energy and drive, and it's very striking how much difference it makes. So I'm really glad to hear you talk about it, and it sounds like you are a great example of being a healthy 71-year-old and a savvy woman who goes after what she needs.
Yes, and it's all because I read your book, Screaming to Be Heard.
Well,
so I just thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and I'm really glad you had a doctor who listened and got you on the right track. And
I
you
am
take
too.
Care and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Same to you, Dr. Verlieb.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Good evening, caller from area code 520. Welcome to our show.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm good. Do you have questions or comments you'd like to ask?
I do have a question. I was wondering if bladder leakage is caused by low hormones, either estradiol or testosterone or something like that.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question because that we're going to do a whole show on some of the bladder problems after the new year, and I want to really help women understand the role of the hormones in bladder health. But bladder leakage is one of those symptoms that definitely gets worse as the estradiol drops around menopause, or actually if a woman's had a hysterectomy, even with her ovaries left, the hormone levels can drop by 50 to 60% within 3 or 4 years of the surgery just from the loss of the ovarian blood flow when the uterus is removed. So it's very important that women understand that they don't necessarily have to load up on all of the pills that treat the bladder problem and cause other side effects, they may just need to look at getting their hormones back in the right balance, because low estradiol contributes to loss of the muscle tone that supports the bladder and helps with urination and controlling the urinary flow. So if you feel like you just have to void and can't hold it any longer, that can happen when your estradiol is too low. Now, one of the, you asked whether it could be other hormones.
Yeah.
Sometimes loss of testosterone along with estradiol affects the strength of the muscles that control urinary flow. But it's predominantly an estradiol-related problem, so that if you just gave back testosterone, you wouldn't see as much benefit as you do if women use vaginal estradiol plus systemic estradiol or a good level of a systemic estradiol. Both approaches really can help the bladder problems quite a bit.
Right. What should the estradiol level be? I mean, is there a number that you should be looking
many
for?
Many women will, you'll see different things in the literature. Most of the research from the international meetings that I go to is looking at levels above 80 to 90 picograms per milliliter, which is the unit of measure, as being the point at which you see the cardiovascular benefits, the brain benefits, and better preservation of bone, and with that, some of the healthy bladder effects and energy and zest and vitality. And that's pretty understandable that our bodies are geared to work with a blood level in that range, because the average circulating level of estradiol during the menstrual cycle is somewhere between 100, 150 to 200 picograms per milliliter. So it's not surprising that when the levels get a lot lower than that, that you begin to have these problems. For example, menopausal women who are not taking hormones probably have an estradiol level in the range of 10, 20, or 30 at most.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a big difference.
Yes, I would say so.
And I want to thank you for calling. I'm glad that you asked your question tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
And we have another caller that I'm picking up on now from area code 503. Caller, do you have a question or a comment tonight?
Yes, I think, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Hello?
Yes, I sent in an email actually earlier today, and it was about levels of testosterone. Did that get through to you?
We haven't received that email today, but I'm happy to answer your question. Go ahead and tell me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm 57, and I'm one. I was also one of those ones that found your book and found it to be a godsend, the Screaming to be Heard.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. It started going through perimenopause and into menopause over the last 5 to 7 years, and now am menopausal, and have been most recently dealing with just the, in addition to postmenopausal bleeding, I think I'm getting that under control because I had a hysteroscopy and DNC, and they didn't find uterine cancer. It was just atrophic a uterus, and my levels prior to the procedure were 60. And I had been dealing with numerous frequent bladder infections, which now I understand after reading your book are to the levels of estrogen. And I've been taking the Bevel dot patch for going on a year now, the 0.05, and now we've just increased it to 0.075 in hopes of getting back some normal bladder functioning and stop the uterine bleeding. It was explained to me that the uterine bleeding is caused by the vascular endings are just sort of raw because of the lack of estrogen. And
you know, that can happen, and a lot of people don't realize. In fact, some doctors forget that women can have bleeding from a lining of the uterus that's too thick, which we call hyperplasia, or you can also have bleeding from a lining that's too thin and not enough estrogen. It's called atrophic. So it sounds like your doctor was right on the ball in going ahead and increasing your patch dose so that you had a little better estrogen effect. But you said you had a question about testosterone.
Well, in the midst all of this, after reading your book and reading about testosterone, because I just completely lost my libido with all of this, and since your book discussed that, I took that information to my doctor, and they started me on a 2% cream 2 to 3 times a week. And what happened was, over time, my levels got too high. I was...
Yes. You know, I'm going to comment on that because you raise a really important question. 2% cream of testosterone is 20 milligrams per gram of cream, and they usually give you the directions to use a quarter teaspoon a day, and that's 1 gram. That's 20 milligrams, and that dose is way too high for women. I use, for my patients, doses in the range of 0.2 to 0.5, or sometimes up to 1 milligram in a testosterone in a non-oral form like a cream. It's 20 milligrams is just way too high, and you will get blood levels in the male range.
That's what we found, and so you recommend how much of this cream?
In my patients, I'm using doses in the 0.2 milligrams per gram, 0.3 milligrams per gram. That's comparable to what the testosterone patch is, 0.3 milligrams in the patch, or 300 micrograms. That's the patch that's been approved in Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and the United Kingdom that we haven't yet gotten in the United States. But that's the more physiologic, natural range for testosterone replacement for women. And if you give women too much testosterone like you were on with 20 milligrams of that cream, you're going to have hair loss, and you're going to have typically problems with poor sleep, maybe insomnia, aggressive dreams, acne, oily skin, middle body weight gain. There are all kinds of things that can happen when the testosterone's too high.
Well, I did start having hair loss like crazy, and I was worried about that. So we stopped it altogether and are going to retest my levels in a few months. Would you recommend retesting those levels before that?
You know, it sounds like your physician is doing a really good job of monitoring that, and I would encourage you to have them checked sooner, because the creams only last a few hours after you put it on. So if you've been using the cream, it's gone within a few days of stopping it, so that within a week or two you can see your testosterone back down to baseline. And then I have some of the more physiologically appropriate dose recommendations and suggestions in my book that are referenced in the international research. What you might want to do is show the book that I wrote on testosterone for women, The Savvy Woman's Guide to Testosterone. Show that material and the references to your doctor, and let him work with you on a more appropriate dose range and the right balance with the estradiol.
Okay, and then how do you address the libido? Will I see some improvement?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you get the balance right, you have enough estradiol so that the testosterone works properly, you do see the libido improve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well,
so,
thank you. I appreciate
it. I hope that's been
helpful,
and I do appreciate your sending your questions and calling in.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're calling. I'm trying to reach a caller now from area code 520. Caller, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I just want to add to the discussion. Many years ago, I was put on PremPro, which is probably standard for most OBGYN physicians that you would go to. I just had a really bad experience.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Well, I'm getting static. Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I had a really bad experience with PremPro and went back to the physician and said, this makes me feel like somebody's poisoning me. I just feel so bad. And the answer was, well, maybe you should take less of it. And my reaction to that was, no, I don't think I should be taking any of this. So I did what probably I think a lot of women are doing now. I did my own research and dug out information myself, because it seems to me that a lot of the physicians now learned on an IBM Selectric and haven't really moved to the computer age. I think they
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Well, I think they you get in this rut and you get comfortable with learning and practicing and doing what you first learned, and it's just too easy to do, and it's difficult to move on and keep up to date and ask, is there something better? Is there a better way? And I think maybe they are having patients that are having problems with these synthetic hormones, but they don't seem to know what the alternative is. So the patient, I think, has to seek out the information themselves sometimes.
Well, I think you're right, and that's why I refer to this as the Savvy Woman's Health Guide, Straight Talk About Hormones, because it is savvy women who are looking for good, solid, reliable information and who don't want to just take the sound bites on the headlines or the scare tactics in the headlines in the newspaper and want to know more about what their options are. And the sad part is we've had good options available in this country and overseas for much longer than women know about, when the doctors continue to prescribe the same old things that they've always used.
And I think it's too easy to just kind of think, well, I guess this is just what it's like. I guess I'm supposed to feel this way. I guess this is just what I'm supposed to accept. And I think you just have to realize, no, I'm not meant to feel this bad. There's something wrong. You have to really, really listen to your body, you know, maybe sit down in a quiet place someday and think, what do I feel like now? How did I feel before? And is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And you have to listen, as they say, you know, listen to your body. And if you are feeling really bad on the synthetics, you have to find somebody that understands the bioidentical and can treat you properly.
Well, and I want to clarify, too, that there's a lot of confusion about bioidentical hormones these days.
Yes.
With a whole lot of popular press and celebrity books saying that you can only get them from compounding pharmacies, and that's simply not true. We've had FDA-approved bioidentical estradiol and progesterone products in the United States, as I said, since 1975. And doctors have those available to use, and I write about them in my books, and women can get them from regular drugstores. They've been subjected to FDA-approved studies for effectiveness, for safety, and you know what you're getting because you have reliable manufacturing. And I think, and they're covered by regular insurance plans. So women have estradiol tablets, they have Estrace brand, they have Estragel as a manufactured gel product that's been used overseas for 35 years, and we've gotten it now FDA approved. We also have patches in multiple brands and multiple strengths. Again, they are reliable, and they are contain the bioidentical 17-beta-estradiol, and I think it's really unfortunate that women don't know about these options and keep getting the same prescription for the oral hormones that we've already seen from the Women's Health Initiative have certain risk with the orals that we don't have with these other delivery systems. And we also have an oral progesterone, the natural hormone. Its brand name is Prometrium. And there is a vaginal gel called Procheve, which is natural progesterone, bioidentical, in an FDA-approved product that I've been using with my patients ever since it came on the market a number of years ago, and they like it so much better than the very potent Provera that causes some of the problems that you heard about and you were talking about. So I think it's really important that you said something critical that our listeners need to hear. First of all, women need to read some of the reputable books in the field, make sure that the material is referenced in the good medical literature, and work with your physician on some of the FDA-approved products that are available that give you options and doses that can be individualized, and make sure that you communicate your symptoms and how you're feeling, and if you're not feeling well, seek other solutions.
And something else that might be helpful that you might want to talk about in another program, the confusion also that people have about herbs and supplements. And people that promote herbs and supplements, when they sell that idea to people, they use as their comparison invariably the synthetic hormones. They report on the Women's Health Initiative and scare people to death. Maybe you could also sometime talk about herbs and supplements as well.
You know, that's a really good thought, because people don't realize that a lot of the herbs contain chemical compounds in plants that are quite foreign to the human body and actually fairly difficult for the liver to process in the first place. In the second place, none of the herbal manufacturers have any regulatory oversight in the United States like they do in Germany, for example. So consumers don't really even know for sure what they're getting or the safety of it. And it's there. We don't have the safety studies on herbs that we have on prescription medications. So I think it sets up a whole new set of problems that women don't realize that they can get into. And you're right, we will do a program on that toward the end of the series after the first of the year. And I really appreciate your bringing that up.
Okay.
Were there any other comments you wanted to make tonight?
Enjoy your program.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in. Really glad to have you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to having all of you back each week. Each week we will be talking about a different topic, and I have those listed upcoming on my website, www.herplace.com. And I want to comment about my books. People have talked about the books, and they found them helpful. One of the reasons that I spent so much time writing and researching my books and going to the international conferences is to help women in this country get the good information that I see when I go overseas and I listen to what physicians in Italy and France and Germany and the United Kingdom and Australia and Canada and all of these other countries have been doing for so many years that we just don't hear much about. And the profits from the sale of my books go to support the educational efforts of my foundation, The Straight Truth About Hormones, because I really feel women need this information. I feel we're losing a lot of quality of life and productivity in women who don't get good answers and solutions to hormone-related problems. And certainly with the negative press from the Women's Health Initiative, millions of women stopped prescription hormones after the headlines were so sensationalized and exaggerated the risk. And I think the quality of life has been negatively affected for millions of women and their families. And actually, something that we don't talk about much and you don't hear in the press is, what are the health risks of women stopping hormones abruptly? For example, experts have projected over 40,000 more osteoporotic fractures every year from women who stopped hormones after the WHI scare. And I find that really frightening when there are good options available. In addition, what I see in my practice is that women are now being given multiple medications for symptoms that had been helped by the hormone therapy that they stopped. The mood symptoms, they're now on antidepressants and high blood pressure pills and cholesterol-lowering pills and headache pills and bladder pills and bone pills. Most of my patients come in with an average of 8 or 9 different medications, and I just think that that's a real tragedy. The more medicines you have, the more side effects you have. So let's look at what we know about all of this information about hormones and what they do for us as we go through the next 16 weeks of programs. And I welcome your calls, your questions. We had some great questions coming into our website this week. We've tried to address some of those tonight. I look forward to more of you sending us your questions and comments, giving us suggestions for topics that you'd like to see discussed, and let us know what kind of problems you're having and what you feel needs to get addressed in Straight Talk about hormones. Couple of summary points just to have you keep in mind. There are lots of advantages to using the hormones in the non-oral form. That means not taking a pill, but using a patch or a gel and looking at ways that you can improve the balance and reduce some of the risk that you read about. We have time for one more caller tonight, caller from area code 502. Welcome to our show, and what's your question?
Thank you, Dr. Valit, for taking my call. I really enjoy your show. Thank you so much for all the information that you're providing to everyone.
I'm glad you're listening.
I did have a question, though. Why are so many doctors ready to chalk up what I would consider hormone problems up to stress?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't have a lot of good answers for it, except for the fact that I think we are dealing with the fact that in the United States, the FDA has said there are only 3 problems that are an indication for treatment with hormones: hot flashes, vaginal dryness, and bone loss. And doctors simply have been so inundated with that message that they don't see the research and they don't think about all of the hormone effects on the other body systems. Estradiol plays a role in sleep. It regulates heart rate. Some women have all kinds of heart-related symptoms as their estradiol is fluctuating. And I just think that we need to do a better educational job. Certainly among physicians, they need to know more about the rest of the body and other symptoms that are caused by hormone change. But women themselves need to know about that, and that's why we're doing this show. So thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I know from a personal standpoint, you know, I had all kinds of problems with anxiety and insomnia and heart skipping beats and that sort of thing. And my doctors were so quick to chalk that up to stress. And finally, after a lot of searching and, of course, reading your books, I was able to get on the right track, and I'm feeling great now.
And yeah, I'm on a call back on the show that we talk about anxiety and stress and depression.
Well,
out of time tonight, and I do want to talk more about that.
Well, I'll be glad to. I'll call back at that time then.
That's terrific. Thanks for calling in tonight. And for all of you, this is Dr. Valit. This is all we have time for tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you missed part of the show or want to hear it again, all of our programs are archived here at Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned next week. We'll be talking about some of the hormone risk and benefits, and I hope that you'll get a better picture of exactly what some of the benefits are and perhaps have a little bit better picture next week of what some of the risks are that maybe aren't as frightening as what you have actually been reading. So come back next week, send us your questions, and I'll be back and talk further. Until then, Here's to all of you savvy women out there, wishing you straight truth and balanced hormones. Good night, everyone. Have a great weekend.